From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week, Congress began its aggressive oversight of the United States Postal Service. That is, in the wake of the serious performance issues plaguing the agency, notwithstanding its success in transiting absentee ballots during the election season, the Congress has taken a very deep interest in postal performance and postal activities. First, 74 members of the House of Representatives wrote to President Joseph Biden asking that he immediately fill the three vacant Board of Governor positions to address the operational issues for which members of Congress have minimal confidence that the current Postmaster General can solve. Second, 34 members of the United States Senate sent a letter to Postmaster General DeJoy seeking answers about the stark mail delays that has taken place under his leadership and that are attributable to actions taken under his leadership. Finally, House Oversight and Reform Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney has scheduled a postal hearing for Wednesday morning, February 24th, during which the Postmaster General, Postal Board of Governors Chairman Ron Blum, Inspector General of the Postal Service Tammy Whitcomb, APW President Mark Dimenstein, and the President of Quad Graphics will testify. The hearing is intended to explore legislative strategies to restore the United States Postal Service. For those interested in listening to the hearing and watching it, it will be live streamed on the committee's website. With that out of the way, joining us today on his monthly visit to Naps Chat is Naps Executive Vice President Ivan Butts. Among the many issues in his official portfolio as a national officer, and for those who are not familiar with the operations of Naps, he is responsible for legislative and political advocacy. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Ivan.
Thanks, Bob.
Ivan, earlier today, you and I had a meeting with House Majority Whip James Clyburn of South Carolina. As you and I know, the whip is a member of the House leadership team and is tasked with rounding up votes for bills and taking the pulse and temperature of members of Congress. We spoke with him about the Postal Service and postal operations. What temperature do you think he is feeling among his members about the United States Postal Service?
Well, thanks for that question, Bob. Well, we talked about quite a few things with the whip this morning and great conversations. But, you know, let's talk about postal. He reflected, I think, what we have heard from a number of legislators, and that's his serious concern about the direction the Postal Service has been gone in really in the past several months. You know, so he's concerned about our service and the steep decline that we're seeing in service. And he's really wants to work and to try to address that, which is really great for us. I mean, he's made a commitment to meet with us and other employee stakeholders of the Postal Service so we can do that very thing, come up and start brainstorming on how do we restore. And again, it's something that we talk about restoration of service. He went a step further and he said the restoration of credibility of our agency, which I think is important. But, you know, it just shows the level of concern that he has, that he believes that, you know, we need to have some restoration of not only service, but our credibility as a federal agency, as one of the most trusted federal agencies year in and year out. And that certainly has been damaged in recent months. I believe the scores will reflect when they come out. And also, you know, the whip he's such a dynamic leader that we have. He really kind of took us through a lot of issues talking about the stimulus for COVID relief and dealing with that and the frustrations of dealing with people who are talking about how much this relief is and not talking about the needs of America. So, you know, we did speak on that. And he also talked about, you know, the need for opening schools safely and what he feels needs to be done to do that. So we had a very good meeting. A very good meeting, and I'm looking forward to in the next few weeks having some more focused meeting on postal issues.
One of the issues that he brought up, that he has heard in his district office, because he is in constant communication with his district office operations, are postal complaints, which is he was sort of shocked that has sort of dominated the conversation in his district office.
Yeah, absolutely. He even talked about it as being, you know, local conversation, you know, at the barbershop, you know, talking about the Postal Service. So, again, you know, the issues, the things that are impacting us right now are really noticeable to America. I mean, they see it, they feel it. You know, we have people who are complaining about, you know, incurring late fees on their bills because their bill payments are arriving late. Medicines are not arriving at all, and which is impacting our customers' health. You know, so there are some issues of real concern that we have, and we know that our leaders have also.
Ivan, as you know, the Postal Regulatory Commission and the Postal Board of Governors is now going to be chaired by Democrats. The PRC will be chaired by Mike Kubianda, the Board of Governors by Ron Blum, as well as both of the congressional committees with jurisdiction of the Postal Service will now be chaired by Democrats. In the Senate is Senator Gary Peters of Michigan, and in the House it remains Carolyn Maloney of New York. To what extent do you believe that Democrats chairing all four of these entities will make a substantial difference in the NAPS legislative agenda?
I think that was that's a critical piece of NAPS moving its legislative agenda forward. I mentioned it, you know, in the months leading up to the elections, how important it was to have this unified front to really be able to move legislation across a goal line or have an opportunity to move legislation across a goal line. We've seen in the past 4 years with the divided House and the Senate what that has meant for legislation, especially for us, legislation for, and not just legislation for us, but legislation for labor in general. We've seen that it can go through the House and be passed through the House under the Democratic leadership, but go to the Senate and not even be heard and just sit on the floor and wait for it to die. So, you know, it became obvious that in order to get that, to fix that process, you have to have a unified Congress and a unified Senate, along with the Senate, to potentially be able to pass, at least if not pass legislation, at least have it heard on the floor. So I think, and then adding that to the final say, you know, the administration, the White House, also being of the same party, that gives you that buy-in, you know, for all three chambers to take the action. And because all these three chambers are Democratic held, that leans towards a more labor-friendly leadership. So that's why I believe that these next 2 years are critical for us to move our legislation forward with the potential for moving it across the finish line.
Let me explore that with you a moment and dig down a little bit deeper. You say we have a 2-year window. Why do you say there is a 2-year window?
Well, you know what, and I'm glad you asked that, because I mean, typically we were saying, well, the president will be there for 4 years, so we have this 4-year window. I believe we can't look beyond the midterms. I don't think we can afford to look beyond the midterm elections coming up in 2022. I think we have to focus on getting our legislation done before the midterm election, because we don't know what's going to happen in the midterm elections. And to be honest with you, the Democratic Party took a significant hit in this general election, this past general election in the House, losing seats. So again, you know, for whatever reason or various reasons, you know, we hope that trend doesn't continue, and we hope they can turn that trend around and gain some seats back. But I think for us, I think as an association, we need to work and move and engage with the mindset of let's try to get this done now.
What I find is interesting about your comments is that the possibility of passing a comprehensive postal restoration policy, it might be easier to accomplish with a unified government than in a, you could still pass, in a unified government, you could still pass bipartisan legislation, is think what I'm trying to drive at. And then it becomes easier to pass a bipartisan, it's counterintuitive. It might be easy to pass bipartisan legislation in a Congress that is control, both houses are controlled by the same party, than it would be if you had to split control.
I guess I agree, and I guess I disagree. I think, you know, I disagree because I don't see an embodiment of, or I haven't seen an embodiment of bipartisan legislation passing. All right. If you're having one person, if it makes it bipartisan, you may want to say okay. But to me, in the past 4 years, it hasn't been bipartisan. It's been, as long as you agree with what I want, then you are right.
So let me turn it around. So the lack of bipartisanship over the last number of years makes it an absolute necessity that, because you have one party controlling two houses of Congress and the White House, for it to occur within this 2-year window.
I believe that's what is shown to me.
Okay. That's fair. That is a fair and good analysis of the situation. Bipartisan, we tried, didn't work. So now we pick up our friends who might be in one of, you know, in the minority party at the time, but we concentrate on pushing it forward the best way we know how and the most effective way we know how.
Absolutely. That's like I said, based on what I've seen, I think that's where we are looking at moving legislation.
Let's turn to an event that we held on President's Day, and that is that you and I facilitated a meeting with the NAPS legislative chairs, 50 states, about the NAPS legislative agenda for 2021. And we also spoke about the upcoming reimagined legislative training seminar that will be conducted virtually this year. Now, let's separate those two issues. First, let's talk about advocacy in the 117th Congress. On the Senate side, we know our committee, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, is being chaired by Representative Gary Peters of Michigan. There were two members of the committee, Senator Alex Padilla of California and Senator John Ossoff of Georgia. Now, Senator Padilla was appointed by the governor to succeed, to fill the vacancy created by the elevation of Kamala Harris to vice president. So we really didn't have an opportunity to interact with Senator Padilla before he became a senator. But Ossoff, we had a considerable amount of interaction with. Could you talk about, within the context of advocacy and how our members will be working with Senator Ossoff, and particularly our folks from Georgia, can you talk about how the newest member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee is going to integrate what he learned about the Postal Service into his work on that committee?
Yeah, I think our Georgia delegates are going to find Senator Ossoff to be very engaging, very understanding, very knowledgeable on postal issues, and very intelligent thinker for ways of supporting postal issues and moving the postal agenda forward. I was very impressed with our meetings that we had with him. The first one really being kind of a one-on-one type of setting where we got to really kind of find out about him and what his goals and ambitions are. And then some subsequent meetings and group settings where he just talked general about leadership and the direction of leadership. So, again, I think the Georgia delegates, when they meet with him and start interacting with him, are going to find that his leadership style is really conducive for support of the restoration and the sustainability of USPS postal operations for America.
And one of the interesting things about John Ossoff is he is probably younger than any member of NAPS who will actually meet with him, being 34 years old. So there'll be, hopefully we can bridge that generation gap.
Yeah.
Now, Ivan, on the House side, there are 10 freshmen on the House Oversight and Reform Committee and one returning member of the committee, a veteran member, Congressman Danny Davis, who formerly was the chairman of the Postal Subcommittee before he left to go on the Ways and Means Committee for a period of time. Now, as you recall, Danny Davis, when he was subcommittee chair many years ago, hauled the Postal Service out to Chicago for a field hearing because of the performance problems in the city of Chicago. What message do you think the Postal Service should take that Danny Davis is now back on the committee and there are performance problems that are plaguing not only Chicago, but many parts of this country?
Yeah, well, I think that if the Postal Service looks at his his leadership coming back on the committee, should look at it as a strong advocate who's knowledgeable of the challenges of the Postal Service and kind of through his past service, you know, understands where some of the bones are buried and where things are happening within the Postal Service. So, you know, I think he's going to bring to the committee that knowledge, which is going to make that committee even stronger for America's Postal Service in support of America's Postal Service. Again, we have, you know, the 10 new freshmen that are on the committee. And as I always say, you know, that our LTS is, time to educate. So we need to use that time to educate those 10 and to reacquaint the other members on the Postal Service, on the value of the Postal Service, on the needs for a strong, sustainable Postal Service and what legislation we feel gets us to that point.
Yeah, Ivan, it was indeed very reassuring when we had our Zoom meeting with our legislative chairs that we had so many of them participating on a federal holiday, taking time, their own time to spend to talk about legislation about the upcoming LTS. Can you briefly, you know, briefly explain what you think the legislative chairs got out of that our Zoom meeting that we conducted on President's Day?
Well, I hope they got the groundwork of a plan, right, for NAPS to continue to move its legislative agenda forward in this window of opportunity and the efforts that they need to do on their level to really bring their states, their state branches and get them involved and get them ready. So when it's time to execute and reach out and have our Zoom meetings with legislators, that we have the full support and backing of all our membership in our legislative efforts.
Let's talk a little bit about what our game plan is. And just to alert folks that were, you know, who are not legislative chairs about what we're talking about, the key points that we're going to bring to Congress this year. One is, I mean, I'm just going to just go down a number of them, and just if you could fill in the blanks, we're going to be talking about consultative rights, consultative fairness for postal supervisors and postal managers. We're going to be talking about Merit System Protection Board appeal rights. We're going to be talking about whistleblower protection. We're going to be talking, as you just stated, about postal restoration. How did we bridge those issues when we spoke with our legislative chairs, and we'll bring them to Congress?
Yeah, well, you know, again, our legislative agenda, we're going to do the things that we normally do in an LTS year. They are probably maybe a week or two behind because we're looking to do our virtual LTS in April, which were just, that was the purpose of the meeting, really lay the foundation for a virtual LTS either the 18th or the 25th of April on a Sunday. And bring in the legislative chairs and any other members who want to sign on. Again, we'll put it out like that. And we're going to have the information prepared and ready on the website as we normally have, our talking points, our slides, and impact statements, income impact statements, and everything else. And then we'll go over our strategies on the legislation that we want to support, which obviously we want to look at the issue for EAS pay, fairness, which was, you know, introduced last session under H.R. 6085 by Jerry Connolly and original co-sponsor Mike Boss. So we're definitely looking to have that same or similar legislation introduced again. We've been in contact with Congressman Connolly and his staff about that, and they're working on that. MSPB rights for all EAS, that's something we've been trying to we've been championing for a number of years now. It's the issue that was brought to the table by Mary Burkhart and championed by her. So we definitely have continued on with this fight, and it would just be such a tremendous thing if we could get that across the finish line, a tribute to Mary and her dedication, her long dedication to EAS and the association. So, and then obviously, you know, we want to talk about postal reform. You can't talk postal legislation without talking about postal reform. But what I say is that we have to talk now. We have to talk more than just postal reform and repealing the pre-funding issue. It goes beyond that now because of the cuts, the ill-advised cuts to the infrastructure of the Postal Service that has now decimated service to America's Postal Service. So now we're beyond just postal reform. Now we're into postal restoration and reform. And that's what we've been, you know, voicing to legislative leaders. And they fully understand it, actually. You know, it's not something we have to explain because they see it. They see it in their home mail. They see it from their constituents who are calling them, saying that my medicine hasn't come. Why do I have to pay these penalties to my bill collectors because the Postal Service is taking 2 weeks to deliver mail?
The legislative training seminar, as I said, we said it's going to be conducted virtually. And one of the advantages we're going to have this year is that it's going to provide more opportunity to prepare for the meetings with members of Congress because there will be a gap between the training and the setting up of the meetings. How do you think our members should use that time between the actual training and the meetings when they're the virtual meetings that they will be scheduling with their members of Congress?
Well, you know, it's just like any just like the in-person LTS. You need to prepare. You need to read the material. You need to understand. You need to, you know, work with your team to know who's going to present what segments and how it's going to flow. So we have a concise and professional presentation that we present to the legislators. One of the things that we've been getting comments from for the last few years is how professional our presentations are when our members come up to the Hill and present to legislators. So we want to bring that same type of professionalism into these virtual environments that we're going into. So again, we're going to have the data is going to be available for you and your team to look at, to go through, to decide who's going to do what segments and who's going to do what. So we can have that same level of professionalism when we do these virtual meetings with our legislators.
As is in figure skating or gymnastics, a lot of the sports, you don't aren't only going to be adjudicated on technical merit, but artistic impression. And so our members are also going to be trained, in addition to the legislative content, they're going to be trained on how to conduct a Zoom meeting. And I think that's important because that's a new type of technique that they're going to have to become more comfortable with. And we're going to work on that also, right?
We'll definitely have to work on that. You know, it's just something you have to do and get used to, you know. And our members, I'm sure, are savvy enough to pick up the technology of operating within a Zoom environment. But you're right.
And with that, Ivan, I want to thank you for joining us on Apps Chat this week.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me. And it's always great to talk to you and talk to our membership through these Apps Chat.
And to our membership and to our listeners, if you enjoy Apps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe till next week.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna